All right, good morning, young disciples.
Good morning, sir.
It's a good morning. God is alive. And this is the doorway to new things. Who's leaving this morning? Oh, man, who's staying this morning? Okay, so maybe a little. Man, there's consensus in the back two rows here. Everyone thought it was a good idea to do 2 weeks. That makes me happy. Okay, so I promised someone I would tell you a story this morning, a story that I've told before, a story that is the most remembered story of any story I've ever told at YD Camp. Some of you remember it. Some of you didn't hear it. So I'm going to tell that story again, give you one verse of scripture, and then we'll be done. Are we done? Where's Keziah, boss lady, anyone? 10? Is it 10 after we're supposed to be out of here?
Yeah, 10 after is when they leave.
Okay, 10 after is when they leave. Good. We'll be done. Okay. Bow your heads with me. Father in heaven, as we spend for some of us is the last few minutes together, I just ask that your spirit would be here, that our hearts and minds would be open once again to receive your word, and that we'd remember, that we wouldn't forget. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, she was a beautiful girl, at least he thought so. Strong and brave and true. With the combination of her talents and his, they made an impregnable team. She with her heightened senses, and he with all of his training, all of his armor, all of his weaponry. I guess you could say she was a soldier too. It's not quite like him. He was a Marine, and she was a German Shepherd. The two of them together were assigned to an outpost in Vietnam. And they spent their days going out on missions in front of little troops of soldiers. She, ears, eyes, nose, scanning the ground for anything out of place, anything suspicious, anything that might be a tripwire to sudden destruction. Time after time after time, Marine and Handler went out together, and he defended her. And she defended him. Time after time, she would be walking down a jungle trail out in front and suddenly stop and sniff and stare. And he would get down on his hands and knees and he would find the filament, this hair-thin wire. It would go off into the trees and be connected to a landmine. Time after time, she saved his life. Well, on the morning of our story, they were out on patrol, patrolling the perimeter of the base where they served, looking for Viet Cong. And on this one day, for whatever reason, maybe there was no tripwire, just a step tab or whatever. Anyway, suddenly the morning was shattered. There was a ball of fire, and then everything went black. And our friend, the soldier, woke up who knows how long later. And in the foggy moments of his first awakening, his thoughts were two, three. First, he realized, I'm alive. The second thought that followed right on the heels was, my dog. Where's my dog? But he didn't have long to wait to hear the answer to that question, because as his eyes slit open and the fogginess cleared, he saw her face leaning right over him. But then the third thought came in right on its heels, because after he saw her face, he looked down at himself and he saw one lung on this side. And I don't know if you've ever looked down at your chest, but you're not supposed to see a lung. He saw one lung. He saw his armor, his flak jacket, everything ripped away. One arm completely useless. The other one wounded. Both feet nearly destroyed. And he suddenly realized, I'm going to die. I'm going to die on this patch of jungle. And my dog, she must not watch me die. Now, the dog was trained. And so with all the the fervency and strength he could muster, he turned his eyes to look back in the face of his dog, still leaning over his face, and he said, "Go home." And the dog just stared. She understood, but she just stared, as if to say, "Are you crazy?" And he said, "Go home." And the dog turned. And she walked 5 or 6 steps into the jungle from whence they'd come. And then she stopped. And then she turned around and she ran back. And still that pounding thought rested in his mind, she must not watch me die. And so he said, "Go home." And once again, she turned and walked 3 or 4 steps into the jungle. Then she stopped and she came back. And with all the strength he could muster with his one okay arm, he raised his arm, he slapped her on the shoulder, and he said, "Go home." And the dog turned and walked into the jungle. 9 or 10 steps this time. And then she stopped. And then she came back. And she lay down beside her master as if to say, "It's both of us or neither. I am not going home without you." But then suddenly, as if inspired by some new thought, she did leap up. She leaped up and reached down and grabbed what was left of the collar of her friend who was the soldier and planted all 4 feet and jerked. And he figured out what was going on. And so with his one wounded but still operable arm, he threw that arm over her neck and with what was left of his feet tried to scoot. And she jerked, and she pulled, and she jerked, and she pulled, planting all 4 feet, 2 inches at a time. For how long, he didn't know. Until they were back at the main road. The road where shortly thereafter an army truck buzzed by and then screeched to a halt and backed up to see this dog, and in the ditch her master. And they loaded him into the back of the truck and took him back to the base. And a few minutes later, he was on a med flight to the big base to get surgery. And for the rest of that morning, the dog ran back and forth, disconsolate, all over the base, in and out of tents. And one of the lieutenants came out and he said, "Wait, wasn't this so-and-so's dog?" And they said, "Yeah, that was so-and-so's dog." He says, "Well, obviously she's looking for him. Get a helicopter." And so the dog was on the next helicopter out. And when she landed at the Army hospital, she ran up and down through tents and up and down halls until she found the bed of her master who had just come out of surgery and was once again starting to wake up. And when he did, he woke up to 2 paws curled over the rail of his hospital bed. And I wish you could have seen his face while he told the story. He's white-haired now. But I wish you could have seen his face as he told the story, as he asked the question, "How do you thank a dog that saved your life?" There's only one way to thank a dog. You love him. There's somebody else. Someone's else. In this room. Who walking down the road of life have taken missteps, who've been suddenly surrounded by balls of fire, landed in unconscious heaps, only to wake up a little bit later and think, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die." And there's somebody else whose face is always bending near, waiting for life to flicker, for consciousness to flicker back. Someone else who, it wasn't his fault that we stepped on the mine, that wounded him too. It wasn't his mistake. It wasn't his misstep. And you know, sometimes we do the same thing. We wake up and think, I'm not worthy. I messed up. You can't want me anymore. Go away. Go away. Just let me die. Just let me die. There's someone else that not even once did he turn to walk into the jungle. He just laid down to die himself, as if to say, I am not going home without you. It is both of us or neither. In English, we have a word for that. Dedication. It's the deepest kind of love. And I hope you'll remember. I hope you remember that he has, so that when such things are called from you, you will. One brief chapter for you this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. She was a German shepherd, no pun intended. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. And he restores your soul. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need fear no evil, because he's with you. His rod, his staff, they comfort you. He's prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemies, in the middle of enemy territory, surrounded by your foes. It's a table. Eat, drink, live. He anoints your head with oil so that your cup overflows. Let him, okay? Let him, and I promise you that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've asked my sweet honey to sing a song with me for you. We're going to sing it, but actually, it's a song that comes from Scripture, and it's your God talking to you. So let this be the last word.
Into the night sky, a million stars shining down, and I can see how you'd feel so small. Don't forget, I'm your creator, you are mine, and I adore you. Nothing else moves my heart like you. You're not here by chance. You are my design. I did well to give you life. You are fearfully and wonderfully. Made. None before to your eyes, you're beautiful. Like no one else, I smile when I think about your face. You were made in my own image, carefully. My love would finish forming you into who you are. You're not here by chance. You are my design. I did well to give you life. You are fearfully and wonderfully.
All right. So it's home from here for half of us. Don't leave YD at this campus when you leave. Take it in your heart pocket. We're a family. Don't forget. Don't forget the hearts and plights and minds and stories of those who you've lived with for a week. Let's pray for each other. Let's make each other strong. If you know my name, and if you can spell my last name, then you know my email address. And if there's ever any way I can bless you, if there's ever any way we can bless you, we want to. Okay? Remember. Let's pray. God, go before us. In this moment of poignancy, in this moment where there's such mixed emotions, the sadness of leaving, the excitement of going home, the excitement of being reunited with friends and family, just ask that you would shine sunshine of your love, your light, into our paths, so that even if there are tears, those tears can glisten in the glory that comes from your throne. And we can feel your presence near. Help us to stay close to you and help us to stay close to each other. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.